AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The father of accused Georgia school shooter Colt Gray is now also facing charges. State Bureau of Investigation Director Chris Hosey.
He is charged with the following: 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts of second-degree murder, and 8 counts of cruelty to children.
Hosey says Colin Gray knowingly allowed his son to possess a weapon, saying he wanted to spare his family a long and potentially embarrassing trial. Hunter Biden has pleaded guilty to federal tax charges months after his conviction in a separate gun case. President Biden's son could get up to 17 years in prison. A federal judge will allow prosecutors in Donald Trump's election interference case to file court documents later this month, but she stopped short of setting a new date for the trial to begin. This is ABC News.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden came to the Badger State Thursday. He touted his Investment in America plan, which includes laws like the American Rescue Plan Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. His main focus was billions of dollars going to clean energy projects, many of them in the Midwest. Dairyland Power Co-op will get more than $500 million for new clean energy installations. And there's a new push to legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin. Native American tribal leaders are behind what they call the Wisconsin Wellness Initiative. But Wisconsin has yet to join neighboring states where medical and recreational marijuana can be used. This really happens in a cycle, and it feels like it happens constantly. There's discussion, discussion dies, and then discussion begins again. A bill in the state assembly to create state-run medical marijuana dispensaries died last session in the state Senate. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The NFL season begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Tonight, the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs kick off the season. Tomorrow night, it'll be the Green Bay Packers versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Head coach Matt LaFleur said that the team's focus has been on their opponent and not the travel.
Obviously, leaning on our experts here in terms of what are the best practices, what do you need to do from hydrating to eating meals to the recovery. These guys have researched and talked to a lot of people, and I feel really confident with our plan and what we're going to do. And, you know, the circumstances are the circumstances, but it's the same for both teams.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. tomorrow night. For the third time in four games, the Milwaukee Brewers had to play a game in extra innings, and in all three of those games, including last night, the Brewers lost. The St. Louis Cardinals took the game in 10 innings with a 3-2 win. The Brewers are off today before playing a three-game home series against Colorado this weekend. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few lingering showers tonight and lows in the mid-40s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, a high near 60. With sunshine, it warms for the weekend, mid-60s Saturday, mid-70s Sunday. Heating up into the 80s next week. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dom Salvia, who joins me to talk about his new show here on Civic Media. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc's Terry Barr brings new music and sparkling conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have Levi Brown here, Minnesota Department of Transportation's MnDOT, for you Wisconsin people listening in, that's your WnDOTs, Director of Tribal Affairs. Levi, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Aneen, thanks for having me, Robert.
Right on. We got a lot to talk about and really appreciate you coming on. You know, what is the role of a tribal affairs director with MnDOT? You can tell us a little bit about your job.
So one of the things that happens a lot to me is people ask that very question. And I think how I can best answer that in a short window is that it's all about changing norms. It's all about changing those historical and social norms that we all face. And what I mean by that is in Indian country, you know, there's always been a push upon us, whether it's, you know, for our land, for our resources, for our knowledge, whatever it is. And so we get, you know, we've been forced to defend ourselves. And in a lot of times with the state and working between tribes, is there's a lot of kind of combative interaction that has happened historically. And I think my role, my job, my main purpose is to connect people, connect human beings who are working for two different governments who really have the same mission in a lot of ways. And I think that sometimes we have to just step back, whether it's working for the state or even sometimes, you know, being a tribal citizen like myself. You know, I was our environmental land director for Leech Lake for 12 years. And before I worked for the state, I had all these assumptions of state government, state employees. And I tell you, you know, 6 years ago, I made a transition to the state. 95% of my assumptions, I was wrong. And so I tell that to tribal leaders, tribal officials now, like, hey, this is actually how things are done, how decisions are made. And, you know, and that helps change those mindsets and help build those, you know, kind of connections between people, whether it's at a tribal leadership level, commissioner level, all the way down to the staff level. But at the end of the day, Robert, it's about connecting people, about connecting human beings and getting them to want to change and make that change.
Yeah, it is about relationships, isn't it? I believe 100% that, at least in my old age right now, that's what everything is. And with things that worked out well, connecting the dots backwards was all about relationships. You know, I was so excited to have you on here. I want you to introduce yourself and where you come from, too, in a good way, Levi.
Yes. So as I was kind of talking about, you know, I grew up born and raised on Leech Lake, in a town called Cass Lake. Some of you might know it's about 4 hours north of the metro area. And I was born at a time where we didn't have gaming. I mean, I was born in 1982. And so the first 10 years of my life, we didn't have gaming. And so, you know, I get that unique vantage point of remembering what it was like prior to gaming. And then sitting and watching my community now, watching other, communities kind of find their way and grow. I think it's given me a lot of insight into kind of where I'm at today. But, you know, where I come from up north, you know, the reservation I grew up on is 408 lakes. You know, I was raised by my grandpa, grew up in the woods. I mean, my whole life has kind of been connected to that. And then my Western education is in political science. And, you know, I really got my first start in this work of building those relationships when I was the environmental land director for Leech Lake. And we just went to court with Cass County in 1999, all the way to Supreme Court. So I was doing my work in 2006 as the environmental land director. And I asked, you know, some of the older staff in our office, I said, hey, why don't we ever talk to the county? Oh, I don't know. We just don't talk to them. Mm-hmm. So I was young and full of dreams a little bit, Robert. And I reached out to the county, started having coffee with them, you know, just talking with them. And at the end of the day, you know, I think they were a little apprehensive of where I was selling them a lot of rainbows and beautiful days and change. But at the end of the day, I realized they were just human beings who didn't understand me, who didn't know me. You know, they were county commissioners who one was like an ex-sheriff. He's like 60 years old. Didn't really know me. But, you know, we humanized that conversation. I realized that a lot of times that helps build that relationship, that understanding of each other. And we became partners. You know, within a few years, we'd signed an agreement. We were going to work together. And, you know, the rest is history. I think Leech Lake just got 12,000 acres back. And it wouldn't have happened without that relationship with Cass County.
Absolutely. And really just reaching out, we're going to have the director and producer of Bad River on the next half of the show. And she's a white ally that did an unbelievable documentary about our history. Basically, it was first about pipelines, but it was about our history. And relationships are where they're at, and knocking down those doors and finding out how common we are. I just applaud you, Levi, for being able to do that. I was a high school teacher and had to do a lot of that, not just with my native kids, but all the kids. And once we knew where we were all coming from, we could be more relaxed and more human.
Yeah, and you brought up Bad River, and I saw that she was going to be on the back half of the show, and our history, what's really unique about it is I'm a Leech Lake tribal member, lived there my whole life. I was pretty old before I left outside of kind of the general area where I lived. But one of the things I think is really cool is like our history is tied. We're all tied together. From the allotment era, I have interests of an allotment in Bad River. There's 80 acres in Bad River from which I have 1% interest in, which is, you know, kind of, it just tells our history is still alive today. Let's put it that way, Robert. So I'm interested to hear that back part of the segment as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I just got to tell you too, on a personal note, my son-in-law is a Leech Laker, and his brother, who is also a citizen too, pitched in the major leagues for 10 years. So Josh Johnson is a Leech Laker too, and we love the rice. Ho-wa.
So, okay, it's really a small world. So Josh Johnson, his uncle is Gene Rock.
Yeah, definitely. So
Gene, I knew Gene growing up. He was really good friends with my grandpa who raised me. Like Gene and him, we'd go visit him in the cities and stuff. And I remember when Josh was pitching, Gene was so proud of me. I was telling him, he's like, hey, here's my, you know, and So anyway, small world, Robert. I think that's so cool. But that's Indian country, right? I mean, we are just, you tell one thing of who your family is and where it's at. Next thing you know, we're having dinner together, hanging out, you know, sending you fish whenever you ask for fish or rice.
Ho-wa. Write that down, producer Haley.
Oh, I am, believe me.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's you know, that's what's really fun about this show, Levi. It is a discussion. It is kind of a around the campfire discussion with our relatives, and I really feel that way with you now, Levi. It's like we have a lot in common, and in a good way. You know, I want to ask you too. We'll swing back to MnDOT here. What we only got like a minute left. We've already burned up another first segment here talking about our relatives in a good way. Ho-wah. So we'll come back and talk more MnDOT stuff. We're here with Levi Brown.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Discover the emotional depth and vivid storytelling of Jay White's Arikara proper at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. This solo exhibition celebrates Arikara culture through the lens of an urban Indian perspective. Experience themes of empowerment, depictions of Native women, stars, and star quilts within White's vibrant acrylic paintings. Arikara proper is showing now through October 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Get inspired by Jay White's powerful storytelling on canvas. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
We are awake. Hey, we're here with Levi Brown, Minnesota Department of Transportation's Director of Tribal Affairs, and that's a mouthful. Hey, welcome back, Levi.
Thanks.
Hey, I got a quick question. So is MnDOT currently hiring? And if they are, what are the positions and what counties are is MnDOT looking to fill some jobs?
So MnDOT is statewide, meaning that we have positions all over the, you know, Northwest region, Northeast region, Central Minnesota, Southwest, Metro, Southeast. And I think we have a wide range of positions. I mean, a lot of times people just think it's snowplow driving, maintenance work, mowing, but we have engineers, we have planners, we have GIS specialists, we have attorneys, we have, you know, political scientist majors like me. We have people who work in between governments. I mean, we just, our scope is so broad. And I think, you know, when you're looking at, you know, close to 5,800 employees, you can get the dynamics and the scope of how many different opportunities MnDOT has. I think what's really unique is that we also employ a lot of private industry. You know, we do millions of dollars of road projects all over the state. And, you know, those contractors are looking for tribal, you know, members and employees as well. So it's one of those things where we really do pride ourselves on being as a big economic driver in the state.
Yeah, that's exciting. And remind us, especially our maybe younger listeners or our family out there, you know, there's some great benefits to work for the state, as we like to call it when I was young, the state. Can you talk a little bit about that and how really cool it would be to work for MnDOT?
I am, again, just completely, you know, changed a lot of my mindset of the state government, working for the state. I mean, when I was really suspect going into the position, but I would be our top, you know, recruiter, you know, given an opportunity like this where, you know, the health, the insurance, the workplace, the environment. I think one of the things that I've learned, you know, working for MnDOT, how important it is to have a supportive environment, right, of where you work and you feel like you're valued. And I think when, you know, if you work for MnDOT, you're going to get that. You're going to get that feeling of family. I mean, most people who come and work for MnDOT, you know, they end up staying most of their careers. I mean, when I started with MnDOT, I'll be honest, and my commissioner's probably listening, but could be. I only planned to come for a couple of years. I mean, yeah. I was just like, I just wanted to try something that, because I'd only worked my whole career for Leech Lake, and I wanted to try something different. So I had some work experience so I could say I, you know, work somewhere else. And it's going on my seventh year. Robert, I hope people, our listeners, are there. And if they got questions, reach out to me and or some of the other Indigenous Employee Resource Group members who are big advocates for our work as well.
Well, as you can see, really, Haley runs this show. So I want to be careful about this next question is, like, how can people find out about current career openings in the Minnesota Department of Transportation other than Haley? Oh, wow.
So the best way, Robert, is to if you got your phone in front of you, computer, laptop, iPad, whatever, just Google Minnesota State Jobs. And then look up MnDOT, Department of Transportation. And then there you can select the region you want to work in. You could select the type of area you might want to work in, depending on where your expertise is. And you can just monitor those positions. You can look at where we have openings. Or you can just Google Levi Brown MnDOT. And my contact info is there. Maybe we can share it on your Facebook, wherever it is. And people can just reach out to me. I can help guide them. I mean, as you can tell, Robert, I'm pretty sociable. I have no problem just talking to people. And I think, you know, I just want to try to help people, you know, take advantage of an opportunity to be part of that change we're talking about.
Yeah, that's awesome, Levi. You know, and that's a good relative to be helping people. And also, you know, communication is huge for us. And, you know, I'm really excited to hear about these things. And I, you know, I'm 63 years old, so I wish I would have heard about these when I was young and had a career and retired by the time I was 55 and, you know, hanging out, you know, at the lake house. Oh, wow.
Well, you ever get up to Leech Lake and Cass Lake there, Robert, you let me know, because you don't have to be 55 to come have a good time up there, relax and you know, take in all the activities up there.
Yeah, let's switch gears just for a second, because really, you do have the best wild rice. I do have to say that, because at Native Roots Radio, we have a Native Roots trading post at the State Fair and at Shakopee Poway, blah, blah, and we sell that, and people love it.
So just so you know, I have to build relationships with all 11 tribes. I will be. They at least know where my heart is, and they know what I'll say and where I do rice. But yeah, I agree, Robert. I'm not gonna.
Heck, you know, we got to have you on the show more often, and then Haley and I will get up there when it's ricing season and get in that canoe with you.
Well, just for FYI, so I also serve on the Natural Resource Advisory Committee for Leech Lake, and we have our first ricing committee meeting tonight. So once I get off of this interview, I'm actually going to go over and get on that call, and we'll be setting our hunting and fishing dates for Leech Lake, and then also start talking about our rice beds and which ones will be there. So we're only a couple weeks away, Robert.
Wow, that's cool. You know, Ho-Chunk coming up there to Leech Lake, that's very cool. Sounds very cool.
Well, and, you know, one thing about Leech Lake is, you know, they have exclusive jurisdiction over wild rice. So whether you're a tribal member, a non-tribal member, everybody's got to go to the Division of Resource Management for Leech Lake to get a permit. And I think one of the things that I feel fortunate about is just about how blessed that Monomin is. That's the abundance that's up there, and you can feed yourself with one handful each day.
Wow, really good. And remind our listeners, because we have listeners all over the state and state of Wisconsin, talk about the Ojibwe legend of finding food floating on ground.
So our ancestors were on the east coast, and that our legends talk about these seven places along the journey along the Great Lakes, but then we'll reach a place where the food grows on water. And if you ever see a wild rice, see rice, a rice bed, it's something to really be something beautiful, something that where you're sitting there and you want to heal yourself and feel good, knowing that that's there and the creator's put that for you there to eat, feed yourself and heal your body and your spirit. Just go look at a rice bed, especially coming up in the next few weeks, because the wind blows a little bit and it just waves at you. Those rice heads are just there. It's a wonderful sight, especially when you see rice poles go through it and you see Nijis out there, friends out there, and people are other human beings out there gathering it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. Well, we're with Levi Brown, Minnesota Department of Transportation's Director of Indian Affairs. How to get a hold of you and what the website is, so our listeners out there that were driving and now pulling over with their pens can write this down, because they might be like me where I have a good memory, but it's short. Oh.
So the best way to do it is just tribesintransportation.com. It'll bring you right to our, Office of Tribal Affairs from MnDOT. We kind of coined that Tribes and Transportation because we're kind of early in the game. At the same time, you can find my cell phone and my contact number online in that same website, and I can help guide you to any employment opportunities or questions you might have, or just in general what MnDOT does. And, I hope everybody listening is I hope my phone blows up a little bit. Let's put it that way. I get some phone calls that people are interested.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I want to get my young Chujunk here on in the last couple of minutes. Haley, who's a Gen Zer, do you have any questions? Because this is amazing for an old person like me to hear that MnDOT has a liaison, a tribal liaison, and reaching out specifically to the Native community. That just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's really important that we kind of go back and redevelop these relationships with state officials and state government offices. I remember we had Wobbin on last year from MnDOT, who gave a really great interview, and I was just so surprised at the many different job positions that are available. Can you repeat some of those?
So we're more than just snow plows and maintenance and plowing. We're bridge inspectors, we're, GIS specialists, Office of Land Management, surveying engineer, engineers for whether it's, civil engineering or we also have a need for computer specialists, our office minute who takes care of our technology. We have attorneys, position for attorneys. Mapping specialists, and we actually have an office for which I think is I'm very proud of, but our office that works with civil rights and looking after our veterans and other groups to make sure that our contracts and how we do our business and work. I think those are all unique opportunities that pretty fortunate to have that under one umbrella.
Wow. Good question, Haley. Wow. We're really fortunate to really amplify this this message out there, because, again, this is like really a beautiful thing that the state's doing. And I feel really good about amplifying your message, Levi.
And again, I think, what's really unique is where I'm at right now. I'm up in Grand Portage, up at the northeastern part of our state and Grand Portage Nation. And I think that if I can say anything about this, is this work is being led by Indian country as a whole. I'm just a part of it. I'm a cog in the wheel. But tribal leadership, tribal staff, everybody's working to rechange those norms. And so when, young people in the next generation are thinking...
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The father of accused Georgia school shooter Colt Gray is now also facing charges. State Bureau of Investigation Director Chris Hosey.
He's charged with the following: 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts of second-degree murder, and 8 counts of cruelty to children.
Hosey says Colin Gray knowingly allowed his son to possess a weapon, saying he wanted to spare his family a long and potentially embarrassing trial. Hunter Biden has pleaded guilty to federal tax charges months after his conviction in a separate gun case. President Biden's son could get up to 17 years in prison. A federal judge will allow prosecutors in Donald Trump's election interference case to file court documents later this month, but she stopped short of setting a new date for the trial to begin. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden announced billions of dollars for clean energy projects, and he did it here in Wisconsin. He was in Westby Thursday. That's in rural Vernon County. The federal government is giving $7.3 million to 16 energy co-ops in 23 states. This is all part of the Inflation Reduction Act. That money should make for lower rates going forward.
And for decades, they couldn't access tax credits and make clean energy more affordable. That's why Kamel and I ensured that for the first time in American history that these nonprofit co-ops can benefit from clean energy tax credits just like for-profit utilities have for decades.
The first recipient of this money is Dairyland Power Co-op. They'll get more than $500 million to set up 4 new solar and 4 new wind power projects. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. This is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. America's sweetheart, Haley Welch, is about to launch a new podcast. Wondering who Haley Welch is? She's also known as the Hawktua Girl, who has Hawktua'd her way into our hearts. In addition to being a guest on several other podcasts, introducing a line of merch, and starting a fan club, which you can join for the low, low cost of $200, she is now launching a podcast to, as she says, tell her side of the story. You mean there's more than just Hawktua? The podcast will be produced by Jake Paul's company. The Hawktua Girls podcast will likely be a step up. Twilight is back in animated form. The show will drop on Netflix and tell the Twilight story from Edward Cullen's perspective as the character played by Robert Pattinson. The story is based on Stephanie Meyer's 2020 novel, Midnight Sun, which reimagines the Twilight story from a different angle. Meyer wrote the original Twilight books in the early 2000s, which were turned into the hit movie franchise. The Twilight movies have grossed over $3.5 billion worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few lingering showers tonight and lows in the mid-40s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, a high near 60. With sunshine, it warms for the weekend, mid-60s Saturday, mid-70s Sunday. Heating up into the 80s next week. It's 60 right now.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, be here next time when our old friend Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badgers, stops by with his annual picks, and our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, Haley, we have an awesome guest on today, Mary Mazzio, and we're going to be talking about the Bad River film documentary. And Mary, thank you so much. You directed and wrote this documentary, and it's just a beautiful piece of art and work, and what a great message. Thank you so, so much for coming on to Native Roots Radio.
Oh, listen, it's my pleasure, and I'm humbled to be here with you, Robert. Thank you so much.
Well, Haley and I watched it, not together, but we definitely watched it, and Haley's got some great notes on this, and I know, you know, Haley, your favorite part was the last 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and it was emotional. Haley, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so we can give a little preview of what the film that we're talking about. This is the Bad River film documentary narrated by Quanah Chasing Horse and Academy Award nominee Edward Norton, written and directed by award-winning filmmaker who we're joined with right now, Mary Mazzio. Bad River is a documentary film which chronicles the Wisconsin-based Bad River Band and its ongoing fight for sovereignty. This is a story which unfolds in a groundbreaking way through a series of shocking revelations, devastating losses, and a powerful legacy of defiance and resilience, which includes kind of that David versus Goliath, to quote, kind of battle to save Lake Superior. So this is a really great documentary, very educational, and everyone, you know, needs to see it. Mary, where can people find this documentary right now?
So right now, if you're an Xfinity member, we're streaming on Xfinity. We will be debuting this fall on Peacock. So it will have a very wide release this fall. In the meanwhile, special events are happening. If any of your listeners are interested, badriverfilm.com/dates. We've got upcoming events where you can stream it. And so lots of events and activities are happening around the film. We're actually, thank you for that question, Haley. We're actually just out of theaters, and the film lasted amazingly almost 2 months in 25 major markets, which is like a huge feat for an indie documentary. So we're really excited about the reception that the film has had and the impact that the project is having kind of in real time.
Yeah, I know it showed up here in Minneapolis, and there was a big buzz, and people were asking me if we watched it, if we saw it. I'd run into people, and that's exciting. You know, we have our Enbridge story here in Minnesota, and so we can relate. One of the really, really awesome things about this documentary for me was that you really put a lot of the Native story surrounded by this pipeline action.
Thank you. And honestly, that I can take no credit for that, quite honestly. When we began interviewing Bad River elders, it was really extraordinary because they said, oh, yeah, we'll talk about this current pipeline challenge that we're facing with a pipeline that's now at risk of rupture that cuts through the heart of our reservation. But did you hear about the fight we had a few years ago over the mountaintop removal mining project in the Pinokies? And then it was like, well, did you hear about the train loads of sulfuric acid that were going to come across rickety train tracks? And did you hear about this? And did you hear about that? And all of these stories of resistance came really tumbling out. And so the film meandered, just like the Bad River is meandering. And the film really went from, you know, a story about the pipeline crisis to one that became just this historical retrospective of defiance and resilience. And I'll tell you, Robert, I started getting chills when some of the elders were recounting these stories, because it was so exciting to understand in real time the history of resilience.
Yeah, and resistance. You know, American Indian Movement started here in Minnesota, and I know you had a really nice piece about that in the starting and how the resistance and resilience of our relatives here in the Twin Cities, which we have the largest Native American population in the country. And so the movie was here for a week, and there was nothing but raves here, and I can't wait to see it again on Peacock.
And it was actually, Robert, it lasted more than a week in Minnesota. I think we were there for almost 6 weeks because AMC Cinemas, like, they called us up and they said, guess what? We're extending. Guess what? We're extending again. So, to have that sort of receptivity for a film like this has just been, you know, humbling in so many ways. And by the way, you know, credit where credit is due, I had an extraordinary team that included Allison Abner. Allison is a writer. She was a writer for Narcos and West Wing. And she hails from the Stockbridge Muncie Band. So she had this amazing and acute awareness and understanding of Native history generally. But she was so thoughtful and disciplined from a storytelling standpoint.
Well, when it comes to storytelling, too, I never heard this, but it really put a big smile on my face. And a lot of it has to do with Native American interpretation, but also our sense of humor. When things would happen, the quote was, when things would happen, an eagle would land on the moon. And finish that story. That was amazing.
That was outrageous. So I think it was Edith Leoso that was recounting to me, you know, she was talking about the birth of the American Indian movement, of course, AIM, and other groups that began to really lead the way in terms of what does it mean to have tribal sovereignty? And what do you mean you're not going to honor our treaties? And what does this mean about the land that we're legally entitled to? And so she recounted this story, this prophecy that a great day will come for Native peoples when the eagle lands on the moon. And she said, and of course we all knew the eagle is never going to land on the moon. Well, guess what happens, right? With Apollo 11, I think it was Apollo 11.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course you have the classic, you know, crackle, crackle of the mic and, you know, the eagle has landed.
Yeah. And then they took notice to that and really got busy.
And they got busy. That's exactly right. And you had this unleashing of activism and awareness, which was really, really exciting.
Well, and
And
back up just a little bit, too, about our history. And, you know, history has not been the history books have not been good to Native Americans in films. But, you know, just to back up with it, you put all this history compacted in a beautiful way, told in a beautiful way about boarding schools, about, you know, the BIA and about the struggles that we've had as Native Americans being the first people here.
And, you know, again, that was really driven by Bad River elders and the stories that they wanted to tell. And I think, you know, certainly as a non-Native, bearing witness to these stories for me was so eye-opening, particularly from a value standpoint. And when you step back, you know, the Bad River people, time and time again, like Native people everywhere, history has been written in such a way where it is, you know, the cowboy that prevailed, right? The founding of the West. And in fact, you know, how history has been written has been woefully misinformed. And I don't know how history could have or has been taught without the history of Native peoples. And so I think the film has been so illuminating, especially for non-Native students. We do know of many, many school districts that are busing their children into theaters to see Bad River on the big screen. And, you know, as a filmmaker, that is so exciting because it means a new generation of young people can have better awareness and be much more fully educated about the issues that affect Native peoples in this country that are ongoing, as you well know.
Well, and one of the issues, too, is that we are dual citizens. I mean, a lot of people, not that many people are on the reservation. Like, for instance, Red Lake, half of their 17,000 tribal members live in the Twin Cities and the other half live on reservation. So we're not these reservation people. And we're proud of both. Being a dual citizens. We're proud of both of our countries that we're in.
I think that's exactly right. And certainly as it relates to Bad River, I mean, again, if you step back, you look at this really small group of people, and with monumental effort, they are fighting to protect Lake Superior, which of course is one of the world's most precious resources. But you see these fights playing out everywhere across America, led by Native citizens. And what struck me, especially as a non-Native, was this idea, and it's something that the Bad River former chairman, Mike Wiggins, said to me just a few weeks ago. He said, look, this fight, we're not fighting to protect Lake Superior just for us, but we're protecting Lake Superior for the country with increasing, you know, weather unpredictability, extreme weather. There is going to be a dire necessity for more of the country to draw on Lake Superior for fresh drinking water. And he said, we're fighting at huge personal cost, this pipeline that is at risk of rupture, and we're doing it because it's our patriotic duty.
Mm.
And that just struck me like a ton of bricks. And I thought to myself, you know, just that value system, we are doing this for all of us, is so antithetical to so many of us that are, you know, rugged individualists or pull yourself up by the bootstraps. And I need my package yesterday. And right, like if we could as a country be more thoughtful of community in the way the Bad River people and other Native peoples are, boy, we would be making America great again.
Yeah, perfect. Hey, we are here with Mary Mazzio, the director of an award filmmaker. And we're talking about Bad River, but we're talking about a lot of things that have to do with this documentary, this great documentary. And we're going to, you know, talk a little more. We're so, so excited to have you on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
Bonjour, hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers, or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Wow, we are kicking butt here on Native Roots Radio. We have Mary Mazzio, director and writer of the documentary Bad River, and we are just touching the surface here of this great documentary that can be seen soon on Peacock and in November 1st. Welcome back, Mary, and I want to kind of direct this question about the crust of the documentary, and then talk about the importance about, you know, addressing this Enbridge thing and their pipeline struggle with Line 5. We've had it here, and the Bad River Reservation in northern Wisconsin is really being attacked by a foreign company with lots of money.
Yes, and I think, you know, the challenge is that Line 5 cuts through the heart of the reservation, directly bisects the Bad River Band's land. And it is today, as the lower court, federal court Judge Connolly found, at imminent risk of rupture. That is terrifying because it means in a matter of hours, if there is a rupture, there is a catastrophe for Lake Superior. And I think, notwithstanding the many talking points that one often hears about this story, there are two really important facts. One is that a series of rights that Enbridge had to operate this pipeline across the reservation over about 3 miles expired 10 years ago. In other words, they no longer have the legal right to operate the pipeline. I think that's really important to know, in addition to the pipeline today being at profound risk of rupture. The second point, and this often gets lost, this is not a story about oil or about how many consumers and Canadian consumers are dependent upon this oil. This is a pipeline that moves oil from Western Canada to Eastern Canada. How it came to dip down into the United States when it was constructed in the 50s is really fascinating. But long story short, it was cheaper and easier to construct the pipeline through the United States than directly west to east in Canada. So in any event, you know, the Bad River Band has not benefited in any material way from the existence of this pipeline. The first 40 years were effectively free to the company to operate. But at the end of the day, I mean, we as a country, we're net exporters of oil. This has nothing to do about, really, this is not a story about oil at all. Mm-hmm. There are many, many ways to transport oil. And this is a story about a piece of aging infrastructure operating really in a place where it never belonged in the first place, and where it no longer has the legal right to operate.
Wow. Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about, especially when we were fighting Dakota Access Pipeline and Line 3 here in Minnesota and the Dakotas, we talk about the Kalamazoo rupture that, you know, pipelines leak, period. That's all we know. And sometimes we don't hear about them, and sometimes it's catastrophic.
Well, and I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up. I mean, Kalamazoo and the epic disaster, it was lines 6A and 6B that were Enbridge lines that that ruptured. I think it was the costliest inland oil spill in the history of America. And that, of course, was not very far away from the Bad River Band. And so the Bad River Band hears about Kalamazoo, and all of a sudden there a conversation. Well, wait a minute, aren't we sitting on Enbridge lines? Isn't that who's right? But, you know, aren't those lines right beneath our feet? Mm-hmm. And Enbridge, of course, their rights expired only two years after Kalamazoo. So Kalamazoo was fresh in the minds of the tribal council. And as elders recall and former tribal council members recall, they started asking the company very difficult questions. How old are these lines, right? Today, the line is 70 years old, 71 years old. How safe is it? What's your data? You keep coming onto the reservation to do what you call anomaly digs. What's an anomaly? why are you doing these digs? What are you doing when you do these digs? And as elders recall, there was a lack of transparency from the company in terms of what was truly happening, which led them to this confrontation in the first place, where they said, you know, you're asking us for a right to extend your operations here on the reservation, and we are not going to agree to that. And that was the opening salvo to this battle.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I have to say something too about this documentary, watching this. This is like one of the most beautifully shot and edited documentaries I've ever seen, even if it wasn't about what it's about with the content. I was just amazed by the beauty of the shots that you and your editor chose to take, along with the talking heads, of course. But there's some beautiful shots there, and some vintage footage of like an Enbridge commercial. And it's an amazing visual documentary too. I just got to say that.
Oh, thank you for that. And you know, many people don't really realize sort of what goes into the making of these, but from a production standpoint, as you can imagine, given the remoteness of the area, right, it took a lot of people, you know, you got to house and feed them. And right, so we had a small, you know, village of people working on this, including, by the way, a number of Bad River members themselves. And we had, we shot on the Alexa, which is a sort of, you know, major Hollywood films are shot on the Alexa. We had drones, we had 4K drones. We lost one into the Bad River, which was, I think Chaz Connors tried to come to the rescue with a whole team of people, you know, diving into the Bad River looking for that missing drone. But we, you know, sort of my going in attitude is, you have these extraordinary people fighting for something that is much bigger than all of us. And the visual story should reflect that sort of heroic and valiant effort.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Haley, we only got a couple minutes left here. I know you watched it too. What is your feeling, and do you have any questions for Mary before we end this great segment?
Yeah, I mean, the whole documentary was just an amazing piece of work, and including the visual shots, but also the soundtrack and the opening scene with the drum, and it just really draws you in right away. And I really appreciated the fact that you touched on a lot of subjects, like kind of how Allotment Act and how forced assimilation to larger cities kind of, you know, led to higher rates of substance abuse and the opioid epidemic, and also touched on crime and police brutality. So, I mean, all in all, the whole documentary is just, everyone needs to see this. So again, can we shout out kind of the platforms and where people can see this Bad River documentary?
Yes. So as I mentioned, we're just out of theaters, but people can view the film if your listeners go to badriverfilm.com/dates. Backslash, then we've got all kinds of events happening around the country. We have where you can personally stream it. The film will launch publicly onto a larger platform beginning on November 1st with Peacock, and our friends at Comcast, NBC Universal have been really extraordinary in terms of their support of the project. And so, we would be thrilled for your listeners to see the film. And then if they're so moved to take action, we do have a take action button as well on our website, and ways you might consider donating to support the Bad River Band.
Wow, perfect. Mary Mazzio, Bad River documentary. Thank you so, so much for being on Native Roots Radio. We got to do this again real soon.
Oh, Robert and Haley, thank you so much for having me. It's been a privilege, and really appreciate your thoughtful questions.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, vote.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political editor of Civic Media and Recombobulation founder Dan Schaefer joins us, and Todd Michaels with Ghost Stories.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings, and when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.